Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, look. Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized 9-to-5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm sucks. Improvise, empathize, force. Break it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, make analysis. Chant it down, all the fallacies. Chant it down, you've been lied to. Chant it down, we be right. Can't we metamorphosize to it like a lamp shedding light to it?
Live from the Hawaiian Islands, it's Chant It Down Radio with your host, Lumis of People Beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look.
Are we chanting down out there? Are you chanting it down? Well, welcome to Chant It Down Radio, where we do chant it down. Welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Lumis, and this is episode 33 of Chant It Down Radio, coming to you live from the Hawaiian Islands and giving you a take on life from what I call the people beyond perspective and just handing it out to you, dishing it out dish by dish. So welcome, welcome to Chant It Down Radio once again. And basically dissecting the life we live in, and we take the critique just where it needs to go, so you understand life. And as I say, we deprogram from the deep program that we're all in. So welcome. All right. So this is episode 33, and if you our first-time listener, I recommend going back into some archives. Now, I get more and more all the time. Last episode, if you didn't catch it, was episode 32, and that had a good friend of the show, AA. AA came in and chanted it down fully, as he always does, with lots of energy and fun, he chants it down on the daily. Everyday life for him is chanting it down. And it's, an episode you should check out. We go all over the place with the topics. I myself wasn't feeling as good as I normally do on the radio. Just was kind of feeling out of it for some reason. But he chanted it down for me, even though I was feeling a little bit off. And hey, it happens to everybody. But great episode to listen to. Always fun to have on the show. And so check that out. That was the last show I did. So welcome. And this being another episode, I was here in the month of May. I was going to just kind of go over a few quick things. If you haven't listened to me before, I do lyricism. I've been doing abstract underground hip-hop for years. And I have an album that I've been deciding to, for the month of May, give out basically for free if you just want to pay for shipping. And that's just because I'm in Hawaii, and, well, you know, that will have to just be taken care of. And I'm just charging $2 for an album that I normally charge $11 for. This is a CD that is called Waking the Systemites, and if you're about chanting it down, then you'll enjoy it. The music that I do is an interesting abstraction of mainstream hip hop, and it's of more the underground styles that that I've been doing for years with friends, and maybe takes a little bit to train your ear to listen to styles in which come through on the album, because it's more abstract and different each style. But it's an album I've had for actually a long time, recorded in 2008, and I have a brick wall basically made up of CDs in my closet, and I figured, well, I'm not doing gigs, and I decided might as well start selling them and giving them out to the world, and that's just fine with me. You know, I'd rather you'd be in good hands of those that chant it down. And so, if you'd like to receive the album, it's a little bit complicated, but just give me an email at stayrootsmusic@gmail.com, and just tell me you want to get a copy of the CD, and I'll go over all the details with you. Just don't have anything set up like a money order system, really, but you could send me a money order. But anyway, I'll shoot you a CD, and just a deal I have for the month of May, giving it out for $2 just to cover my shipping end of things. Otherwise, I just give it out for free. And it's not because it's a piece of junk. It's good. It's got many tracks. It's work that I had in progress for 10 years of doing solo stuff on the side with a group as my main theme, and then here and there in busy life. So it's a good album if you want to get into it and support me as an artist and to continue supporting the show and all the things I do here on the side. So that's just the deal for the month of May. For the month of May, so far, I've still gone on my no sugar trip here. I'm not eating sugar for a whole month. I just wanted to experiment of how that makes me feel. I've never really taken sugar out of my life for a long extended period of time. And how it makes me feel is it often, like everybody, makes you crash. But I have these, lately especially, just lots of cravings for sugar and sweets, and that's fine. I think that there's a lot to experience good food and all, but just getting out of control. And so anyway, I decided to stop and feeling all right, actually feeling pretty good. And it seems to me that I maybe just my imagination, but it seems like I feel a little more fit and look a little more fit from just not eating as much sugar. It really does weigh us down in many ways. So, and then that's inspired me to do some of my other healthier habits that I sort of got out of habit. And one of them would be I like to, in the mornings, make a little elixir drink, I call, mixing a few things together, and you can try this yourself in a blender. Just put an orange, maybe about a thumbnail size amount of ginger and turmeric, and then add in just a splash of spirulina. And I'm not a big fan of spirulina, but anyway, as far as the taste goes, but gives you some really important dark greens in there, and mix it together and just shoot it back. It's not the greatest tasting, but even worse that I do as far as taste goes is noni juice, which is also known as Indian mulberry and various names. The scientific name is Morinda citrifolia, and that is a very potent fruit that heals all parts of the body. That's when it tastes horrible, but if you just shoot it back, and then I drink a glass of lemon juice, and all those habits, you know, it really does help with life, being a little more healthy and just giving new habits to life and trying to become a better human, and that's what we all need to be doing. So anyway, that's just a little bit of maybe inspiration for somebody who wants to, you know, do something about their situation and health. It's all, we can always improve, and we can always do better, but it's also okay to indulge and enjoy good-tasting food, too. So tonight's topic is nationalism and culture. This is System Tentacle number 13, and the System Tentacle series of shows is a series that I've been covering. If you haven't caught up or listened to any of these these shows, you need to go back and listen to them, because now we're in a place where we're really upping the ante. We're really upping the level here of chanting it down. And so now it's time to really get into some of the deeper aspects here. The series of shows, The System Tentacles, is basically a way of removing all of the fluff, all of the brainwash, the bullshit, moving it out of our life so we can see the truth, the tentacles that we're all wrapped up in, we don't even realize. And so I've gone through a lot of them, and I'm not going to spit out all the shows that I've gone through, but you can look in the archives, go to Chant It Down Radio, and you'll find each episode on top tells what it's about, and in the bold letters, it'll say what system tentacles are. Start from episode 15, which is the first one, and move on up. So this is a series of shows that does require prerequisites. And now I'm getting into the topics that are much more serious. So funny how it fell to where I'm getting into these really controversial topics on episode number 33. 33 is an important number to many belief systems, and it's unique. Jesus died at 33. It's the highest of the master numbers in the many mystery schools, like the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, 33 third degree Freemasonry. 33, it's like the level of like a black belt in martial arts, you know. And so, and here we are at episode 33. Just this always happens to me. These numerological, can't say it, things here in life. If you listen to episode 11, how I go over the 11s. Well, this is another kind of thing that I see a lot of triple numbers. But here is another one of those synchronicities in life. You know, 33 is also interesting because during the World War II era, President Roosevelt, the 33rd president of the United States, Hiroshima and Nagasaki nukes went right on the 33rd parallel. Also on the 33rd parallel, which is interesting, is the Roswell site and the same area in which the Phoenix Lights, the famous UFO sightings, took place, Disneyland. So anyway, on and on it goes, but there's so many unique things about 33, and here we are at episode 33, which is a level deeper. So I'm taking you deeper down the rabbit hole and showing you the critique where it needs to go. And also being system tentacle number 13 just happens to fall on that one too. And the 13, of course, has got a lot of things, and I'm not going to keep going over all this stuff. This just derails me from the topic of the show. But one thing about 13 is, in the science of numerology, you know, one thing it says is, he who understands number 13 will be given power and dominion over. So, you know, here we are, understanding something that really does take a lot of understanding here. We're going to get into some deep topics that a lot of people won't be willing to go, and that starts right now. And it's about the more extreme info now. So, you know, but this is Chant It Down Radio, and it wouldn't be Chant It Down Radio if we didn't go and chant it down. And so we are going to chant it down. So I'm not going to apologize for the truth, but I do throw out a disclaimer because I do refer to a lot on this show, and this episode especially, again, to America, and I did on another show as well. And why I refer to it a lot is America is a place where things have been taken to the extreme. The rest of the world sees America as that, and it's true. But I speak to all on this show. You know, I was born in America, you know, but to me it's just a country. It's just a part of some land. I don't get stuck on the belief systems that hold back, and which we'll definitely get into, you know. But there, within America, there is many people. I'm talking about as a collective, speaking as a collective. But there are many great, well-meaning, loving people that are awake in America too, and there are in every country the same. But I'll be referring to it a lot, partly because, well, I'm from here and I know about it the most, being from here. But you know, there are good things to say. I'm not completely dissing on America, but it's the place that is setting example for the rest of the earth. I mean, there's some great things about how the U.S. has been innovative in many ways, too, and innovative with individuals that have come out. It's very unique people have come out of the U.S., but you know, I'm going to refer to a lot of cultures on this episode. And you know, just like every culture, there are great people within. But I'm referring to cultures and countries as a collective. And so we need to get over this. We need to understand, and we need to, and that's what this show is also about. It's getting over all this, taking things so personal and looking at the truth. And so I'm going beyond what a lot of research I would say to talk about here. Not all. There are some definitely great exceptions, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but there is a lot of people that will not touch on subjects beyond pretty much all the system tentacles I've already covered. So we're going to keep going. And we take the critique where it needs to go. And honestly, the truth is usually in between the lines. It's usually in between it all. It's not these polarized opposites. It's usually in the middle, and you can pull nuggets from it all. So that's my little disclaimer into it all. Anyway, we're getting into the topic tonight of nationalism and culture and how it holds people back. So let's get into nationalism. What is nationalism? So the definition of nationalism is a belief, creed, or political ideology that involves an individual identifying with or becoming attached to one's nation. So this is an interesting subject because people getting attached to a government system, people getting attached to a way of life that has been provided for them. And, well, you know, you have to look at it like this. Everybody's born somewhere. I was born on land, so were you. And, you know, maybe some people were born on boats, but I guess most people are born on land. And we're born in between these invisible lines we call countries. And to me, that's what it is. This is planet Earth. It's not about countries, private property. On this show, we take it past that paradigm, don't believe in that stuff. But, yeah, so the thing is, it's this gets into some of the biggest levels of brainwash, nationalism. I mean, we're going to get into some heavy brainwash here that basically allows the big conflicts on Earth to happen through nationalism. You know, it's how you can be convinced to support and possibly die for the system that taxes and enslaves you. You know, this is the system every country that you live in taxes you some way and definitely enslaves you and keeps you within a perimeter. And it's usually the prison without the bars, but it's not always. Depends on what country you live in. In the Western world, the prison without the bars. But in some countries, the more obvious corruption right in your face. And it's easier to see, but then there's also I think the illusion of freedom when you get in the prison without the bars, and so that's where you get the main supporters of nationalism. You know, most people don't really like the government. If you ask people, like, you know, go around and ask people, hey, do you guys like the IRS? And most people are going to be like, no, I hate those assholes. For a good reason. And you know, if you ask, go around and ask people, hey, do you like the banks? Do you like Wall Street? And they'd be like, no. Most people don't like that. You know, ask them if they like state and federal offices, and they're like, hell no. Hate waiting in those places. You know, but so what? Most people are not really into these types of things. They're not like, yeah, the IRS, woo, yeah. But they're patriots, and so. Patriots is, and nationalism and patriotism is very similar. And to me, I just kind of throw it all in one clump. But there is small differences. So the definition for patriotism is cultural attachment to one's homeland or devotion to one's country. So it is an attachment to the land you live on, and devotion to the country you live in. So it's an attachment to something, and it's something that people grab onto and identify with. And I'll come back to that. But people are convinced that their heart and soul belongs to the culture of their nation, and that's a crazy notion to wrap your head around, is to think that people are convinced that their heart and soul belongs to this nation, you know. And, well, people are removed from living on the land, real culture that they identify with. This false culture is based on money and government. So they're removed from the right things to believe in, so they're showed to believe in these things from generations of people hammering it in, and a system that completely reinforces the illusion. And really, what patriotism does, it's all for serving the elite's interests, the upper class elites, and the global elite as well, but the elite within the country's interests. I mean, if you think about it, that's what it's for. It's for getting people backing behind the global movements that take place. So, of course, it's for serving the elite's interest in wars, serving the view that they want you to have. And so who carries out these actions, of course, are soldiers, military. Those are the ones who actually carry it out. They follow orders, and there's a lot to be said about order following, and that's probably just going to have to go into another show, but of course I'll touch on it here. But, I mean, the most brainwashed people on the planet are soldiers. Like it or not, that's it. It's the truth. I mean, more brainwashed than the actual elite, really, because those people are the ones that are brainwashing. The brainwashed are those who are carrying out these orders. Soldiers, people who are willing to die for the same nation and culture that enslaves them, taxes them, and treats them like a number. But that's how you get, that just shows you how brainwash works. Much mind control. I mean, to get somebody that lives in a country, loves their own family, to go into another country and drag, let's say, the father out of a house with crying children and, you know, detain him, arrest him, kill him, you know, make a bloodbath of innocent people, you know, invade someone else's country that you know nothing about or the culture and have no business there to begin with. To brainwash somebody to believe that that is right is insane. It is insane that somebody would accept those notions. Why not? Why don't they accept it? Well, it's all reinforced by the culture we live in. Is it people's fault? It is. Somebody's got to take blame for it, and it definitely is the military people's fault. But it is also people that are misled. They mean well. A lot of people join the military in any country because they mean well. You know, some are compulsory. You have to. But you know, some people are real well-meaning. They become military and police because, well, they want to do some good. And I think people really have within them, people are inherently good. They want to do right. And when they're told what's right, they kind of can't help it. So this is where it all comes in. And see, the framework of brainwash, well, it comes in schools. Now, schools don't necessarily teach you to go into the military, I wouldn't say, but I wouldn't say that they don't, and they definitely reinforce the framework for this brainwash, because it's all part of the system connected. Listen to episode 24, which I went over Operation Indoctrination, you know, into the schools. And of course, the media, big, huge one that episode 15 covered, that one being that you know, a big influencer, just to name an example, me growing up, I watched G.I. Joe. I watched the cartoon G.I. Joe. I played with G.I. Joes. And so that, if that isn't training to become a soldier, I don't know what is, but to put it in the children's minds early enough that, you know, that if you join the military, you're doing good because these are the good guys, and we're beating the, you know, the terrorist Cobra. And I just recently saw those movies. I decided I like to watch movies sometimes and really chant them down and see what they contain. And it was interesting to watch them, but just to kind of see where what they're trying to pump through there. But anyway, so of course the framework of brainwash to get somebody to be a soldier would be, you know, school, media, upbringing by others who are already brainwashed, and crap food. Crap food, all these foods, I listened to a few episodes I have on that, which is the food nourishment, number 16 and number 19, the excitotoxins, and just how that helps dumb us down. So with the combined system tentacles wrapped around you, this is how people get into this frame of mind. You know, it's all done through how people speak. I mean, look at the power of what I call we, the power of we. Okay, so those in power want to associate us with them, so they make us part of the we. So in other words, we're going to war. You know, they make us part of everything they do. Hey, you know, we're included. Oh, isn't that nice? They included us. Oh, how nice of them, you know? So nationalism is to fuse together an entire nation into agreement with its leaders. So no matter how crazy it is, it's not questioned too much. So they want to fuse together, us and them. And so that's why people take it so personal when covering this issue, this info, and I'm talking about here. It's brainwashed at its best. You know, it's like, yeah, we're going to war. We're in a recession. We are a strong nation. And it's all that right there. It's just that association, words that associate with other things. It's subtle brainwash. It's in the subconscious. But you know, yeah, we are one nation. You know, that's how we are all one, of course. But they want to separate, divide, and rule, yet associate us with them. So it's some real mind manipulation, some real full on mind control right there. And of course, you could go and you could get into these order followers, and you could talk to them. You know, why did you go and shoot up somebody's house in Iraq? You ask them that, or why did you blow up a whole town with a tank? And of course, they're going to answer, that was my orders. I was just doing my job. The worst excuse in the world is I was just doing my job. That's the most insane excuse for this, and it's brainwashed at its best right there. And that is something that people need to hold back. You know, the asshole who decided to audit you and put you in debt for a small mistake on your taxes and ruin your life for years. He was just doing his job. You know, people can pick basically committing immoral acts, and they're just doing their job. And that's what it is. It's all about the money trance, and it's all about just order following, unquestioning. And it's why we're in this mess, because unquestioning people are following orders from a pyramid structure from the top, and dictated by those few on the top, and it trickles down the pyramid. And people are unquestioning, not seeing the big picture, and understanding what life is about on planet Earth. And that's what this show is all about. You know, because these people are told that they're there to protect invaders from encroaching on their freedom. And that all sounds just fine and dandy, but you have to take a few steps back, turn it on its head, and chant it down, because that is not cool. That is none of our business, basically. You know, other brainwashed, unquestioning killing machines told that they're being the bad guys. You know, that's the other side right there. The unquestioning killing machines on the other side are told they're doing the same thing. You guys are gonna beat them. It's just like the Star Wars trilogy, the newer one with episodes 1, 2, and 3. If you watch Anakin Skywalker, who you know turns into Darth Vader, of course. He turns to the dark side, but he's told by the Emperor that if he beats the Separatists, then he will have saved the galaxy and destroyed the opposition. And so he's convinced in his mind that if he goes and he kills the Separatists, who were controlled by the Emperor anyway, you know, controlled both sides of the war, that he's ended the war. And so he's convinced himself that he's doing a good job. Well, it's the same thing. These soldiers on both sides are told. I mean, the Nazis were told that they were doing a good job. They were patted on the back, I'm sure, and given reassurance that they were doing the greatest thing ever. And so, you know, it's the same thing on both sides. It's brainwashed on both sides. You know, and it always makes me come back to the same thought. And you know, I always think, well, why, you know, if we wanted leaders, which on this show we paradigm shift, and we'll get into that on another show, no rulers, no bosses, but, you know, why don't the leaders just duke it out in a fighting? I mean, it would be this great match, like a UFC match. We could get them in there, and, you know, they have this disagreement. Okay, why don't you guys duke it out, and let's everybody watch and cheer them on. Yeah, you know, that would be awesome, you know. Maybe one of them knows jiu-jitsu, get them on the ground, and choke them out, tap them out. You know, sure, but why all the bloodshed? You know, insane. Insanity. See, every country has its brainwash, not just America. I mean, it's all over the place. Every country has its propaganda. And it seems like the more commodities, the more resources that a country has, the more they want to extract from the world and the more propaganda to the people, because they want more the people's backing to become these parasites that eat up the world. You know, that's what kind of these nations are. And, you know, every country has its own way of getting the people. I mean, different sayings. Like, I know England is like, serve country and queen. Or if you get into Lenin, Russia, you know, they had the commercials I saw on a documentary of kids singing. And they had kids singing songs about he's their Superman, and you know, you bring kids into the picture, and it's all the emotional heartstrings. Oh, look at them. Oh, they wouldn't lie. Of course the kids aren't lying, they're just doing what they're told, but just they always like to bring in the ways of pulling on your emotional heartstrings and controlling that, an emotional mind control method. And so there's those kind of things. And then there's China. Watched in a documentary about kids that were doing a kind of what I call call and response, being a hip-hop artist. So, you know, you get the audience to say what you say back. So call and response. The kids were doing this with everybody else, the soldiers and everything. And in Mandarin, you know, they were saying, "We love the Chinese Communist Party. We love the socialist motherland. We will carry on the cause of communism," you know, in Mandarin. And so here you have all these kids and it must be okay if kids are doing it on TV. So here you go. This is just brainwashed at its best, a nation of people brainwashed. And the key to brainwash, repetition, over and over and over again. And both those examples, over and over again. And TV, always with going to the media, always pushes things over and over and over again. When 9/11 happened, same thing. As soon as they got the cemented story they wanted out there and dropped all the loose ends that they didn't want to show anymore, over and over and over again. And, of course, with America's propaganda, you know, great one of those lines is, you know, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It's amazing. It blatantly states who's in control right there. It's like, what? I mean, think about that again. Don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You know, in other words, we work for them. They don't work for us. And that's something that people really need to get straight, as David Icke says. Very important. People need to understand that they are not working for us. We are working for them. And that's just it. I mean, obviously, or we'd be free. Well, far from it. And, of course, you have all the different presidential slogans, as I'll get into on the left-right paradigm show, which I'll, you know, save for that. But, of course, like Barack Obama's presidential campaign slogan, yes, we can, and half the country, you know, backing Obama. He's you know, the celebrity of president. You know, he's the smiley face you can get behind. Yeah, you know, we had Bush, who was so evil to, you know, at least half the nation, this divided nation. So let's put in this guy, and he's, you know, it's just brainwash at its finest. And of course, if you listen to Freeman, who I've had on the show, he has figured out if you play backwards, yes, we can, comes out as a thank you, Satan. Pretty funny. Check that out on the internet. But, you know, the brainwash, of course, has to be taken with the soldiers, back to the soldiers again, the military. It has to be taken into the next level. The military, you know, chanting, kill, or, ooh, ah, I want to kill somebody. You know, I've heard that, you know, I saw that on a documentary. I can't remember what it was, but I have an ex-Marine friend myself, and I was telling him about that, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's nothing. You should see some of the other things we used to chant before we went to war. He went to war in Iraq. And the consequences that the soldiers face is horrific. My good friend and brother, you know, he's realized since, you know, what had he done and come to consciousness, you know, since he'd been in the Iraq war, and he has, you know, post-traumatic stress for life, and just, and, you know, sometimes he can't handle, and that's it, and you come back, and, well, you come back to regular life, and it's pretty hard to fit in, so, you know, that's one of the consequences of living this way, but, It's nationalism, and it's the brainwash that you can get a nation to do something. I mean, there's also just mentalities that come with a nation. You know, like example, I can just think of the look at of Americans, and I've said here on the show before, here in Hawaii, yes, we're part of the U.S., but we're as far away as you can get in the U.S. and still be in it. So we see it sort of from the outside. So all visitors come to Hawaii from all over. And you get to see the mixture of everybody and how Americans play within the mix. And Americans oftentimes, as a collective, think they're better than everyone else. And you've maybe heard the term the ugly American traveler. You know, some of the most unseasoned travelers don't know anything about the rest of the world. And not all, like I'm saying, but you know, this is just the collective, and oftentimes the American traveler, often the most demanding people out there, and the most worried and scared, not, you know, thanks to the media, and it's pumping out its fear, and just the think that the USA is the best. You know, it's all about the ego, and talked about that a little bit on the Ego Ran Amok show. The truth is, though, you know, all this America thinking they're the best, America's rotting from the inside. It has had some great things in it, but honestly, it is, and it has been my whole life. I've seen worse things than better things about, you know, the whole thing, and no country is perfect. And on this show, well, we don't believe in countries. We chant them down. So as you can see as I go through this. But originally, the country of the U.S. was, you know, founded by the founding fathers. And there's a lot of people that are constitutionalists that go back to them and kind of almost look at them as like godlike people. No, definitely not at all. You know, a lot of them were slave owners and didn't care for the indigenous population of Native Americans. And no, not perfect by any means. But there was some good qualities within the Constitution, and there was some important aspects of freedom. But I don't think any of these people had a deep understanding of freedom and chanting it down. But there are good nuggets to take from that, too. But they weren't perfect, and nobody's perfect. But anyway, basically, that's just how people get stuck believing in their country. And, I mean, really, name one good thing that nationalism has done for the world. You know, really, name one good thing that's a positive thing. I can't think of anything myself. So, nationalism is what people are mistaking, really, for nationalism is culture. You know, something to belong to. And we just have to remember to take a few steps back, turn it on its head, and chant it down. All right? So culture is, and nationalism and all this is hard to define and break down. There are many cultures within cultures, and there is so much division in the world, and this is where it gets really complicated. But let's just take the word culture. And let's break it down. Culture is the beliefs, customs, and arts of a particular society, group, place, or time. So it could be a lot of different things, obviously, but it is those that get behind it. And so what really people are attached to, not so much nationalism, like, you know, they're not into their government itself, like I was saying, the IRS and all that, but they're into the culture within the nation, more so, you know, if you could define it that simply. But we got a culture these days that's provided to you by television, telling you a vision, corporations, and people running after money, basically. And that is what modern, at least Western culture, is today. And so you can say that's a culture in itself. Little substances, listen to the foolishness and shallowness episode I did just a little bit ago, that system tentacle. And that's what you have a culture based on, mainly. And I'm not defined just to America, the Western world in general is on that same tip, you know. Basically, all corporation ran, money-driven, and television, TV heads, and basically that's what you got. But, yeah, and it gives a pretty ridiculous society. I mean, just today, someone I know, not too well, but, you know, he's like, hey, come here, let me check this out. So he gets his iPhone out and shows me this video of a girl with a bong inside her vagina, and the guy's taking bong hits out of a special bong that's able has some kind of bottom piece where, you know, goes in the vagina, sucks out air, and then sucks it into the bong. So, you know, he's taking a bong rip on there. I'm just like, this is what this guy has to show me? You know, I just felt like going, yeah. You know, just like, that's the level we're talking about here, and the focus of foolishness and shallowness. But, you know, a little sidetrack, but that's the substance. So, and, you know, we got these cities in America, and you can't tell one area from the next. Everywhere has a corporate center with all these plastic signs, and it all looks the same. It's just, it's ugly. And this is all just what happened, is this whole takeover. You know, you got your Chevron, you got your Carl's Jr., your McDonald's, your Jack in the Box, and all this along these fluorescent light strips, and it's ugly as hell, and people eat it up like crazy, spoon fed right to them. That's all they know. But this is a new world. It's part of the new world order. Then there's the older world cultures, you know. This is a replacement of the older world cultures, this newer world culture, corporate RAN, that I'm talking about. But there's older world cultures, and those have some more unique traits, a lot more unique than television and corporations. You got, you know, true values that come through, and traditions, and what's great, as AA was saying on the last show, mythologies. You know, so much lost in this corporate culture. It's mythology and stories and rich history that has been lost by the ancients, taken from them and lost through generations. By the tell-lie vision. But many of these cultures are still within many of the different ethnic groups in the world. I mean, in the world is so mixed now. I mean, you take an example like Croatian people living in Australia. Okay, so they're from Croatia, went there maybe after World War II and established a community within, say, Sydney, but then that culture is within a culture, which is the British culture that came there. But that's not the original culture. The original culture would be the Aboriginal culture that were the, you know, the first people there, one of the oldest and most amazing cultures in the world, by the way. You know, cultures are great. But take a few steps back, turn it on its head, and chant it down. Are cultures righteous? Well, depends. One of the hardest things for one to accept is to look at a whole culture and say it could be wrong. And basically, how it could be wrong is if a whole culture is based on the wrong values. Well, we can obviously say that about today's modern corporate culture and Western world, based on making money and upping yourself over your brother and sister and all about, you know, yourself. But there are many, many cultures that through history too, which I'll get into. But see, it's not about, culture is not an ethnicity, but belief system, you know. So where do we go for a model? Well, often on this show, I go back to the indigenous people, the original earth people, and that's an important model. But one time when I was, you know, doing my thing, you know, I solo tripping a long time ago, doing my own thing. I wrote down in every day in my journal, I'd write, and I wrote down one day in my notebook, cosmic knowing. And I called that an umbrella term for basically the golden rule. And it's just something that you know in your heart if you develop that knowing. And cosmic knowing is the same thing as what some awake minds out there call natural law. Some researchers, you know, that you can check out on the internet, And so what it is, cosmic knowing to me, and when I wrote it down in my notebook, was the true rhythm of the planet. It's the true rhythm of life, the golden rule. Basically, don't commit violence or threaten anyone or try to take anybody else's freedom away from them. And so that's a short definition of natural law. Cosmic knowing, just knowing, you know, that if you treat everybody else like you want to be treated, you know, in a loving manner and do your thing, as long as it's loving, it's all good. So does a culture allow for the truth to enter? So that's a question. So does, no matter what culture on earth, does your culture allow for truth to enter? Does it allow freedom? You know, because you got many cultures that have some very unique things and aspects about them. But because of belief systems that are in the way, say, for example, religion intertwined keeps it some people stuck. Or, you know, is it stuck to traditions that keep you from truth and freedom? It's these religions and traditions that get in the way. And there's nothing maybe wrong with them by themselves, but you got to remember, this is about the truth. Life is about the truth. In this show, we chant it down to see the truth. So you got to always question the culture. you know, what is it doing? Is it holding you back? You know, old world culture or new world culture. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Great example is my people, my ancestry. Some of my ancestry dates back to New Zealand. Not the Maoris, but the Moriores, which were the original first people, some of the earth people, which I'm talking about, the peaceful hunter-gatherers. These were a peaceful, smaller, statured culture of people who came in who knows when, but then later the Maori people came in. The Maoris were more of a war culture, and the Maoris actually ate the Moriores. And so there are just about a handful left, and it was almost believed that there are none left. There's no full-blooded Moriores left. But is that right? No, it's not right. I don't care, you know, what culture it is. You don't eat somebody else. You don't eat your brothers and sisters. You don't commit violence against them. So that's not right. It's wrong. You know, the history of Polynesia, which if you don't know what it is, Polynesia is a triangle in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which connects to one ethnic group, the Polynesians, which are a straight-haired people, islanders, possibly derived from Malaysia. There's, you know, many mysteries on where these people came from. There were two sets of settlers. The first small statured people, they came to New Zealand, like the Morioris, Tahiti, and Hawaii. And these were all these shorter hunter-gatherer types who were later invaded by a larger war culture, the big, or what we call the Ili'is here in Hawaii, and they came in and killed off the original settlers. And this is a whole pattern that went through all of Polynesia. Polynesia, you have Hawaii on the top of the Polynesian Triangle, the left corner New Zealand, and the right corner Easter Island. So all that within, well, most of it within, is Polynesia. And so the Hawaiians live here in Hawaii. Perfect example. A lot of people take, you know, are pissed off, rightfully so. Hawaiians should be pissed off about their land taken by the Western culture that arrived here. But what was it before? It was a kingdom. Now then, that's not exactly what we go for either here on the show, is, you know, leaders and rulers and bosses. And so, was it better? Well, maybe slightly better, but, you know, chant it down to a finer degree. And then before that, lots of war in Hawaiian history, human sacrifice, you know, not living by cosmic knowing, not living with the rhythm of the earth, no matter what culture, you know, doesn't matter. Chant it down. The colonizers that destroyed the Native Americans, chant them down, you know, came in and killed innocent people to invade somebody else's way of life. The Mayans coming, you know, human sacrifice, No, I don't think so. Chant it down. Chant down genital mutilation in some of these northern African communities like Mali and Mauritania, countries where the woman's clitoris is cut off and certainly sew the vagina basically shut. It's just, you know, don't even want to really talk about that. It's disgusting. And, you know, it's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it's right, it's right. So we're all different. And there isn't anybody perfect. And that's the truth. We're all different. But there are cultures that are immoral. And so you can base morality into the rhythm of life, natural law, you know, cosmic knowing. And I will cover that in more detail on the show to come. Just don't want to derail the topic too much here. And, you know, there have been and are great people within evil cultures. So you can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Not at all. There's during the times here in Hawaii with human sacrifice on what's called a heiau, which is an altar, some were dedicated to the war god Ku. And doesn't mean that the people, the commoners, were bad. Not at all. They probably didn't support it at all. But you had then rulers, too, that were causing and committing evil acts against commoners. And so every culture's had good people within. And there's good nuggets within every culture. So that's the truth. But nobody's always ever going to get along. And we're all different. There are differences that are going to annoy everyone, you know, that between all cultures. And I mean, it's just how it is. If it's not based on righteousness, if it's not based on cosmic knowing, then it is going to have problem. I mean, it's simple. Whenever people group gather, it can be annoying. I mean, group mentality is annoying. You can see it for yourself. I mean, you don't have to take a culture. Just take a group of people. Like, go on a tour somewhere, and you have maybe a party of 10 people. Or go in a restaurant, and that party takes over. You know, they don't mean to, but as a collective and as a force, they take over, and they create, and it depends on who it is. Oftentimes, it can be annoying when you're just the outsider, and you're there, and you're witnessing, you know, 10 loud people that kind of ignore everybody else around them and don't pay respect to the surroundings, then you have yourself a pretty annoying situation. And so, yeah, it's annoying when people gather. And why? Because most people aren't based on truth. Most people aren't based on cosmic knowing and consciousness. So that's why it's annoying when any culture is together, because a lot of people are not being respectful to their surroundings. So it doesn't matter ethnicity, culture, it's groupings of people based on the wrong things. So that's just one of the things about culture. But let's take it a little further here. Let's turn it on its head again, and let's chant it down some more here, and let's get into the global elite's view here, the Illuminati, those that run things from behind the scenes, high up on the pyramid. There's that whole perspective within this too. You know, and though this ruling class has been ruling humanity for quite some time, but that, you know, doesn't mean that just them themselves are the only evil ones out there. Like I've already gone over, if it's wrong, it's wrong. But this is the extreme wrong, of course. The elite, the global elite, the brotherhood, whatever you want to call them, you know, they want us to fight amongst each other, divide and rule. It's important to understand they want this fight. They want the culture fights. They want every divide they can have to their advantage. They want the divisions in race. They want the divisions of religion, and we'll get into that on another show, and politics, and another show too I'll get into, and gender, and they want division points of view. You know, I mean, look at all the different sects of belief systems. They just want you, and they just don't want solidarity. They want all of humanity to be broken up and not able to solidify belief systems in morality and come to a common agreement. And so it's a crazy mess. It really is, of course. But one of the things that they've done in recent times is they've installed political correctness. And that is a misunderstood thing that just sort of kind of came through the media, mind control. And it came in, I believe, slowly and subtly, but as the countries become more diverse, more immigrants, they started to propagate this through the media and through the schools. A great example is when I was growing up in my elementary school and my middle school, they had what was called a racism-free zone. So nobody could be racist. And I remember that this Japanese teacher I had was so, you know, gung-ho about this racism-free zone. And some reason I could just always see through the bullshit. I just always had, maybe it's a gift, I just could see some, or not even see, my intuition told me that there was something wrong with this picture. Just it didn't quite add up to the right thing. And this Japanese teacher, she was really, really emphasizing all the time on race, you know, and you know, you're black, you're Hispanic, you're Asian, you know, very, very much emphasis on it, on just the fact that you're different from this person, and so we're supposed to be in this racism-free zone, yet she's racist against white people, and she blatantly would always diss on the white people the hardest. And yes, during history, of course, the Caucasian culture has done, in recent history especially, the most damage, and the global elite, yep, you know, white supremacists at the top. But it's supposed to be a racism-free zone, and it actually seemed like what it did is it emphasized on race so much that it helped people focus on race more. And I think they do this by design. They want us to focus on race. They want us to go, hey, look over there, that's a black guy, you know, that on that TV show, and look, and you know, when we're all kids playing together, I play with everybody. Kids don't care. Kids don't really care who they're playing with. This is just people. It's just, and yeah, we're all different. Yeah, you know, facial features, colors of skin, but it wasn't a big deal. And so they got us really focused. And at the same time, this whole political correctness, this whole way that came through the media slowly, what it did is it brought minorities that are in the U.S. into the system more so. It's like, hey, guys, you guys come join us too. It's okay. We're all equal. It's fine. Come join the system. You know, you can vote too. You can be part of this also. And get everybody acclimated to that and kill the rebellious spirits of minority groups within the U.S. and elsewhere. It's a design behind the scenes, because you had a lot of unrest, especially in the 80s, gone over before, you know, on the streets of America, especially the inner cities, some of the, you know, black areas and Hispanic neighborhoods going through, you know, the whole crack epidemic and the gang warfare. And so you have this new ideals coming out. Hey guys, you can join this, you can be part of this too. But see, that sounds all fine and dandy, But what it's doing is it's killing the rebellious spirit that needs to be there to see the corruption, to understand the elite and understand what's going on. So we just all join the system and be part of it too. You know, we can do it too. The American dream, yay! You know, so here in Hawaii, it's a little bit different because people have been living with each other for longer. The U.S. is still, in my eyes, segregated. You have your different ethnic neighborhoods. Here in Hawaii, everybody mixed together. This is some people call the mixing bowl. You know, we're very diverse. In fact, Honolulu itself has the highest diversity in America per capita. We have so many cultures that are here. Hawaii itself is a mixture of many cultures. We have the, of course, original Hawaiians, Polynesian settlers, and then you have all the different cultures that came here for sugar cane and pineapple work. You have all the Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, Portuguese, Filipinos, Puerto Ricans, Spanish, Russians even came, and different other Polynesian groups that came later, and everybody just mixed within, married within. So most people in Hawaii that are my generation are about 4 to 5 ethnic groups. So everybody's been living together, and Hawaii is different because I think Hawaii has got past that sort of focusing on race and being so segregated still. And it didn't work over here the same as it did the brainwashing I was talking about. Because on one hand, you have a very integrated culture, and then everybody else moved here too in modern times because of our desirable climate. So you got every culture here. But what it has become is an apartment building could have every culture you can imagine in it, and everybody seems to coexist, which is a very cool thing. But one of the things, you know, Hawaii's not perfect, and Hawaii itself is very racist also against the Caucasian. And again, that's not solving the problem. It's because of history here. So is Hawaii perfect? No. But it has a lighter side to this whole political correct mannerisms. You know, people can joke about each other being different, and they don't take it so serious here. You know, people, you can say, oh, you're a little bit this, you're a little bit that, you know, so you must be like this because you have a little bit of this ethnicity in you. But nobody takes it so personal. Everybody just kind of laughs, you know, sits back and laughs at it a little more. So I think that's where Hawaii's ahead. Kind of forgot where I was going with this, but basically, one of the things that's come out of this whole political correct attitude is focus on race and everybody using the word racist. Let's look at the definition of the word racism. Racism usually involving that one's own race is superior and has the right to rule over others. So that's what racism is, a superior race over another race. But the word racism is just thrown out at every little possible situation that can come from, and it's totally overused. It's to the point it's ridiculous. And I mean, you know, then you get a lot of people that want special rights for this or that, but that's not ever resolving the issues here, you know, and it's keeping people within the whole debate, and we'll come back to that. But, you know, people aren't so much really racist, because if you look at the definition of the word racist, it's not that people necessarily think they're a superior race over, but they may have some prejudice, again, because cultures, you know, have rights and wrong. Every culture has good and bad, and some things annoy other people because they're not used to these different cultures and ways of life, which is which so most people are not really racist. They more or less don't like a culture and are often closed-minded and limited by their own belief systems. And so that's what happens, is people are just not open enough to accept a culture, but so they come across as racist. But it's more like a little bit of prejudice, but racist, way blown out of proportion. You know, talk about racist, the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacist, that's racist. That's insane. It's insane anyway, that whole thing, because already you have a ruling race that is predominantly white. I mean, don't these people know about the Illuminati? Don't they know that they're these white supremacist banking elite families? I mean, don't they know that they already are ruling and that they already are trying to control the world and do pretty much? But what an insane, ridiculous group of people, you know. But everything's ridiculous. If, you know, being racist, like the David Icke, the researcher, says, it's like looking at somebody and telling them that you don't like their spacesuit because it's different. But you know, it's that insane. We're all consciousness. We're all human beings. But political correctness, this whole PC thing, you know, mainly. If I've noticed, if you want to, you know, get into race, is mainly upper white class liberal types here in the U.S. that have, you know, the ones that propagate it the most. They're like the ones that seem to, maybe they feel bad or something, you know. But it's just all funny to me, because a lot of it's just taken out of proportion. And the thing is, it's all been designed by the elite. And political correctness mainly is like finding a neutral way to address like a demographic group without insulting someone. And it's this sort of walking on eggshells thing. And of course there are derogatory names that people shouldn't be using. I mean, it's just stupid and foolish. But the same time, it's gone just out of control. I mean just to name a few examples, it's like people wanted to change the name of a snowman to a snow person, you know, just trying to limit the word, the speech, and it's like, you know what your person's talking about, a snowman, so what? I mean, is a snowman supposed to get offended, you know, if you call him a snowman and not a snow person, because it could be a woman? I mean, yeah, you know, homeless people, or a person experiencing homelessness. You know, are you gonna drive by? Hey, look, that's a person experiencing homelessness. And, you know, you're driving by real fast. No, it's a homeless person. You can say it's a bum. It's a hobo. You know, whatever you want to call it. And people just taking it way too far. But this is what it's all about. And this is the important thing to understand with this PC. It's about replacing words that have detail to explain something so you can't explain it in your own natural language. So you can't explain it in the way that you would naturally flow with it. You know, if it sounds bad or not, it's about limiting and taking away freedom of speech. That's what it's all about. It's about changing the way we speak so we can't articulate the words that we want. And so there's nothing wrong with multiculturalism. Because I enjoy all the cultures. I think there's something great to learn about each one. But in the elite's plan here, you'll notice that all these Western worlds, America, England, Australia, New Zealand, just to name a few, open borders, and you know, just basically the open borders, so anybody can come in. And what they want to do is they want to let all cultures in, and what they want to do is destroy a sense of nationhood and culture to introduce the global state, the agenda. And the agenda, well, if you don't know, I mean, it's the New World Order. And if you're not up on the New World Order, the basic plan is to have a one-world government with one currency under the elite that want to exterminate a large percentage of the population, and the elite, the global elite, the bankers that run the world, you don't want to establish this, you know, the dark occultists. And what they want is not what you want, but that's what this is all about, this multiculturalism, is they want to destroy a sense of culture so you can accept easier this global state. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing. I'll come back to it in a minute. But, you know, I mean, because right now nobody takes offense or takes it to heart. You know, you might talk bad about a country and everybody's up in arms and freaking out at you because they're nationalists and patriots. But no one's going to get offended if you're talking shit about the IMF or the World Bank. No one's going to get too mad about that. So it's not coming out. People aren't going to get in a fight over you talking bad about the IMF. But nationalism is used by them, but in their way too. So, of course, they use this whole nationalist way of getting everybody to get behind their country and go to war. But also, they want to defeat the borders, and they want to defeat the country too. So they use it in both ways. And there's always one or more reason they do something. It's usually more than one. You know, they want a global society without borders. And it sounds all right. I mean, you think about like, oh yeah, you know, it'd be nice if we had no more borders, and you know, make everything easier if we didn't have to. You know, everybody be, you know, just one planet in harmony. But that's not them. That's not their plan, though. It's not at all. And it's their version is much worse. So, you know, we have to zoom out, take a few steps back, and chant it down, because it's really important to understand that their plan is it's coming from, you know, some evil reasons and motivations behind it all. So, but here's the important thing, is we have to take a few steps back, chant it down, zoom out, you know, because getting caught in any of the debates about race, culture, nations is not showing you the big picture. Any of these issues, getting caught in any of these issues is a big problem, because it doesn't allow us to see the real agenda. You know, we have to take a look back and really understand it. So from their view, from the view of understanding that a nation, thinking as a nation is your way of keeping yourself enslaved, and thinking as a culture and groupthink in any culture keeps you from seeing the truth. All these things keep you from seeing the truth, and the truth is what we need to do here to set ourselves free. And so here is an important thing. This system tentacle, nationalism and culture, is a real wrapped up one that we must get past, understand that we are all humans, we are all here on the planet, and we need to get rid of these belief systems that hold us back, and nationalism, culture, hold us back. And while the elite uses them to pin each other against each other and get us so sidetracked from their plan of the one world government, the New World Order. You know, it's always getting caught in the debate, and that's where we need to stop, take a few steps back, chant it down. So, I mean, you just have to be with cultures, and everybody needs to respect each other's boundaries. I mean, it's an interesting show someday to do. I'll try on, you know, how everybody got so different, and how the earth and, you know, everybody became so different looking as far as physical features and colors of skin, and, you know, how did all that happen, you know, and how did all these languages come about? You know, it'd be an interesting show to do. One day I will. But for now, you know, just respecting boundaries. Yield to life wherever you visit. Don't just invade somebody's country thinking that it's just like your home. You know, treat it with respect. Treat people with respect. You know, go with their rhythm. And doesn't mean you should stop, giving out the truth, but you never invade. And, you know, an example is here in Hawaii, people take their shoes off before they go in the house. That's just, it's rude if you don't. So you must to learn about a place before you go somewhere. And try to, you know, when you live around different cultures, you just got to, you know, kind of treat everybody different and treat them as a human first. And throw away the fact that don't put a label on someone because they're just from a culture. Everybody's a unique human being. And if we were all able to stop groupthink and actually, figure out who we really are, you wouldn't have all these judgments so much. People would be a little freer. But that's not happening right now. But, you know, remember cosmic knowing. Learn the good nuggets from all culture. But remember that there is a rhythm of life, this cosmic knowing, natural law, whatever you want to call it. It's the golden rule. And that is the important thing, is to just remember that we are all consciousness here in these bodies, experiencing a life here, walking around. And that is pretty much all I have to share here on this episode of Chant It Down Radio about nationalism and culture. Just, you know, it breaks down to many parts. It's a very complex thing to talk about. But just remember, you know, we're born here on the planet. We're born somewhere. And it doesn't mean that's who you are. And it doesn't mean that the culture you live in is who you are. You are who you are, unique human being, and try to develop that. And keep on chanting down, spreading the truth, spreading love, and striving for freedom, real freedom. And real freedom means seeing the truth. So keep on chanting down. Listen to the archives if you have not. Tune into them. Go to Chant It Down Radio and just on the internet, Google it up, and you'll have a lot of episodes now to listen to. The System Tentacle series of shows is the most important here, and just going to get more controversial and chanting down and more unique and interesting, but we're just trying to show you a perspective so I can show you and we can be people beyond the system and beyond the life that's been showed for us to live and the programming, so we can see who we really are. And that'll be the next series of shows is who we are. And we'll see, I'll come up with a better name than that. But until then, keep on chanting down and stay roots and try to get more podcasts out there for you to listen to. And thanks for all the support, those that do listen, my five or so listeners out there, whoever you are, just keep on spreading the truth and much love and aloha. And till we meet again, which shall be fairly soon, keep on chanting it all down.
you get farther. Mountain streams and warm ocean water. Found relief, my focus is stronger. Boundaries are broken in progress. How you think depends on how caught up. Doubt your dreams defeat your high calling. Boundaries high within the green forest. Now it's time for us to move toward it. Out right here, you know you get farther. People beyond.
Are you awake now?